You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Let's talk about Missing Link.
What a good band name.
You like that one?
Love the name.
So this is heavy hardcore. You're familiar with, everybody's familiar with that concept?
Yeah, Triple B.
Beatdown gets thrown around very loosely these days.
It's an easy one.
It's easy.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't mean it's accurate, though.
No.
Missing
Hate Link. Hatebreed ain't Beatdown.
Yeah, Hatebreed is not Beatdown, nor is Missing Link. You can tell they like it, but it's heavy hardcore. This is one of those bands that I think is percolating right now. Share members with bands that are having their moment, and it's a lot of band veterans that are all good at what they do. And this song that we're about to play is called 2 Cent Circus, and it is it features Nate from God's Hate. It is going to be on a 2-song flexi that Triple B is releasing for This Is Hardcore and giving out for free.
Free.
That's free. Yes. And then the full length is coming shortly after that. This is what we call promo in the biz, everybody. Missing Link must be a very special band because a label is actually doing promotion for them. How nice.
And Missing Link, the song title is?
The song title is 2 Cent Circus.
Let's go.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I am Tom.
Gentlemen, I'm experiencing some computer weirdness where it's like it's hitching.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it does. It shouldn't impact the recording. I'm just going, if you, it will impact it in this one way. If you notice me becoming agitated and you go, wow, Patrick's, what's going on? It's
man, Patrick's like, reminding me of that Will Smith character in the Will Smith movie, Hitch.
Hitch. That's right. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Before we get into anything silly or jokey or ad reads, up front, Tom, you got some stuff to share and stuff we want to let everyone know about.
Yes. So there's going to be a benefit for our folks in Year of the Knife on July 17th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the world famous Bonk's Bar. Mm. It's so Monday, July 17th. It's Upon Stone, Saint Peeler. Shout out to Adrian. Creeping Death. Show starts at, the doors are at 7. Show starts at 8. It's at, like I said, it's at Bonk's Bar, 3467 Richmond Street in lovely Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Go, you know, if you can't make it, there's other ways to help. We'll post all of this in on our socials and stuff like that. So there's a GoFundMe and there's other ways to assist these folks. But yeah, it's this is the first of hopefully many benefit shows to help everybody out that was involved in that awful, awful accident.
Yes. Want to talk more about it. But let's say thanks to the sponsor, homies, Run for Cover Records.
Oh, yes.
To Live a Lie.
Yeah.
Close Casket Activities. And Convulse Records.
Yeah.
Legendarily Inappropriate Patrick. Run for Cover Records, runforcoverrecords.com. I know this guy. I'm gonna do some speed race stuff. The new Fiddlehead record, everybody's telling me, is fantastic. They got some record release shows coming soon. You need to get it. Just get it. And if you're there, get the Pity Sex Feast of Love 10 year anniversary
edition. Yeah.
I am a huge fan of Pity Sex, one of my favorite Run for Cover bands. So check it out. To Live a Lie. I'm going to make this easy. Low key, To Live a Lie has been putting out some of the best stuff in a long time. The record I'm most excited about right now is the Violencia LP that they got coming out. I don't know. I believe we actually have talked about this band before. The LP is Viviendo Tiempos on Más Oscuros, and it is awesome. Fast hardcore punk from Tijuana. We have talked about them. It's just great. I think if you like fast hardcore, you're going to like it. It's certainly got some of the punk energy, but in that way where it's like, this is... It's got some dirges. It's got some blasts. It's got everything you'd want. So if you're a Mind Eraser fan, if you're a Rival Mob fan, if you're a Los Crudos fan, if you're a One Word Death Threat fan, check this record out. I'm psyched on it. Violencia, Viviendo Tiempos Aun Más Oscuros LP. Check it. Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. We're doing all of them, guys. Convulse Records. Get the Alienator World of Hate 7-inch that we promoted last week. Everybody's psyched about it, seeing it all over the place. I don't know how long it's going to last out there. Let's see. Yeah, go get it right now. Portland, really cool. Check it out. And last one, Closed Casket. What should we promote on Closed Casket? ClosedCasketActivities.com. You know what? Let's promote this. Get some Maggot Stomp stuff. I think that Twitching Tongues reissue they did, is that still available? Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Let's see. Twitching Tongues, one of the pillars of the Closed Casket world.
Mm, sure.
Correct? No questions about it.
No question. Sleep therapy.
Sleep therapy. It's the double reissue thing. Where's it at? Come on. What are we doing? Twitching Tongues. Let's see. Yeah, go get this. It's all sold out.
Can't get it. Get a shirt instead.
Get the shirt instead.
Copy the Fleshwater record.
Yeah, the Fleshwater record is back in press. Yo, that's the problem with Closed Casket. Everything sells out super quick. You got to be up on it. You know what? Yeah, you know what? Get the Twitching Tongues camo hat. Why not? It's hunting season somewhere. Like, do you think they hunt in the San Fernando Valley?
I think they fish. I don't think they hunt, but I think that's a, I think it's a cultural thing where if you know, if you fish, you can kind of be in the club.
So you think they fishing?
They fishing. They've gone fishing.
Gone fishing. CloseCascadeActivities.com. the Year of the Knife accident has been in my head recently, largely because I think the way Tom framed it on our last episode, which we recorded shortly after we heard about it, you know, maybe it was a couple days, something like that, you know, and we didn't even know. We didn't know if it was going to be just like, hey, everybody's hurt, but they're there. It's serious. It's a serious thing. But as Tom noted, all three of us, a lot of people who are listening to this podcast, have been in vans on tour. A lot of people who are listening to this podcast want to be in a van on tour. I bet almost everyone who's been listening to this podcast has been in a vehicle on a highway.
Yeah, I would think.
You're like 2 seconds away. A half second from one driver or the other, you know? And it's terrifying because even people with good coverage, good insurance, good this, good that, whatever, whatever, it's a really scary situation. I just want to send all of the thoughts out to those folks. Hope you get better, Maddie. Hope everyone else is staying strong. They got a good team over there. And if you got a couple bucks, go support that GoFundMe. It is crazy to think about what kind of situation, you know. I just, you know, personalize it for yourself. I personalize it for myself. If that happened to me, I would be in serious trouble. Obviously the health stuff, right? But there's a financial component to it where it's like, okay, you're alive, but guess what? You're in a position where maybe you're self-employed or maybe you don't have a traditional job, so you don't have traditional insurance, health insurance. You're jammed up. Those bills add up. And even people with good health insurance, you might be jammed up. So,
right. And you're halfway across the country from your family.
Yep. Right. Right.
You know, it just didn't happen like down the street.
Yeah. So,
yeah, this should support and stuff like that.
All right. Let's get to our shenanigans. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Strong, powerful.
Patrick, wow. you're in Perth.
That's correct, yeah. Just for another couple of days, and then Lithuania. Everybody check out the YouTube.
I'm sorry?
I'm in Lithuania starting on Wednesday.
For fun?
No. We're playing Devilstone. Would you look up Devilstone Festival?
I will not. I'm definitely going to look that up. I'm
because you're going to be opening for a fucking Watain or something and being called.
I'm picturing nice Devil words. Sticks.
No. Devil this is, well, Festival. There are some Devil Sticks there. You know what it is? It's like there's definitely some. Remember Suspension? Remember uh-huh. that?
Yeah.
I think there's some Suspension going on.
Like people that hang themselves by their meat from their back?
Yeah.
I think we played a show with a band that did that.
I think it's that type of scene that I'm about to play.
Devilstone 2023.
Can you even fully comprehend that?
No. Okay. To answer your question, no. It's no. The idea, whoever thought of it is strange. Who's like, you know what? You ever think about hanging yourself from the flesh of your back and somebody
can't,
said,
can't
no,
grasp
no.
the subject. No, thanks.
No, I never did. And he goes, I've thought about it. And you go, okay, what are you doing with that thought? Well, I've devised a whole thing. I'm going to hire some test subjects. Hire some test subjects? What are you talking about? You know, like, how did this go is my question.
They're like you. You got to know what it feels like. You got to know. You got to try it.
Just you got to taste it to know how it tastes.
Ha ha, you picked up. Good. It's about time.
Who booked you on this? Can I have their number?
Yo, listen, I'm very excited about this, to be honest.
I would
East
really
stage.
Like
you're playing the East stage.
I really want to go to Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. I'm fascinated, so I'm a little jealous.
I'm having like a weird moment in my life where I like when I listen to podcasts, if anybody is talking about their life instead of the subject that I want to hear about, I like have like a weird babyish conniption fit. So I apologize to our listeners. I am excited to go to Lithuania. Then we're in Oslo for a week, but I have no disrespect to the people of Oslo. I've been there. You know what I mean? And I just like to be someplace that I haven't been. So I was going to fly to Northern Ireland because it is a place.
You've been there though?
No, never been. I've been to Ireland a couple times. Never been to Northern Ireland. To our listeners in Northern Ireland, I'm just fascinated by like the idea of peace walls. It's just such a the people there have probably normalized that in Belfast, right? But like to the outside world, that's about as crazy an idea as ever existed. I would like to see it. You know, I don't always travel for the most luxurious stuff or the nicest stuff. I'd like to see the most interesting stuff, and that's just fascinating to me. So I wanted to go. We'll see if I end up there or if I just hang out in Oslo getting work done for 5 days. But I
what's in Oslo?
So we do.
You waiting for another show or something?
We do Devilstone, and then 5 days later we have two festivals: one in Oslo and one in a place. Forgive me, everybody in Norway. I can't pronounce it, but it is also in Norway. And these places are way more general audience festivals. Like Weezer played one of them 1 year. You know, it's kind of like they strike me as like municipality festivals, you know, like where it's like the city says
you're playing, like, yeah, like the Pickle Fest of Oslo.
Yeah. And so that'll be like such a quite a difference after Devilstone. For people that are you know, if you go look at Devilstone, there's a video that I'm going to send you fellas. You don't have to watch it on the air, but I would love it if you just looked at the thumbnail, please. Oh yeah, here it is. Let's go, fellas.
Well, you're playing the East Stage on Friday, July 14th, with Dad Cap, Steak.
Steak.
Drug Church at 8:25. Mm-hmm. Pigs.
Oh, you got? Did you get all the pigs? Because I think it's 7.
I did. Yeah, it's weird.
Vance can't dance, but they'll steal your money.
So, and Carpenter Brute. Ooh, I know the name.
Carpenter Brute is great. It's not quite dance music, but it is. You know, it's like electronic music, and it's obviously inspired by John Carpenter music, but it's really good at what it is. And I just watched it playing, you know, one of the big festivals, maybe Hellfest or whatever. And because it's essentially just a DJ, he's really done everything in his power to make it visually compelling. It's like, there's a drummer on there. There's fire being shot everywhere. Like it's a lot going on. Oh, I just sent you the wrong thing.
Yeah. This one's pretty good. Like, though.
Okay,
this
cool. Pretty good. Hill. I mean, I'll read about Jonah Hill being
this
a dick.
That's the trailer for the new Worst Possible Timeline episode, I bet. What's the deal with Jonah Hill?
Of course. We got to talk about the moment. Got to talk about this important Jonah Hill moment.
And what's about Oslo Fest? Do you know the name, Pat?
That's Devil Sticks 2.
Yeah, it's Devil Sticks 2. Let me see.
It's Tummy Sticks?
Have either of you ever used Devil Sticks?
I don't know what that is.
Oh yeah, you
Patrick,
do, Tom.
Explain Devil Sticks to Tom. You might. He lived in a real city. I don't know.
I'm from Brooklyn.
You know what I mean?
Sunset Park. We played wiffle ball.
Okay. It is Devil Sticks are the Juggalo cousin of Hacky Sack.
That's correct.
Oh yeah, I definitely never. You think, man? I'm looking at these now. You think dudes in Sunset Park play with this bullshit? I got friends that got shot. I mean, I'm fucking. Listen. Devil Sticks.
Hold on.
What is the most Devil Sticks hardcore band that's ever existed?
Oh, if I say,
yes, you're just right.
I was gonna go in a different direction, but it's not entirely wrong. There's a band that I see. They're an active band right now. I think it's like you know, they might sell
redacted
them.
We'll do the bleep, so yeah,
and if someone's gonna be like, yo, what'd you say? And I go, Pat said, and then I'm gonna name some scary band.
Yeah. Okay, so in the spirit of not spending all our time talking about personal life stuff,
this stuff is interesting. At least.
I love it. No, I love it. I love Devil Sticks. They're fun. I haven't even thought about them in like 20 years. We're doing Match Madness next week, just as a warning pre disclosure, and we're gonna do the Titans bracket, and that means the biggies as we determined of the 80s. All going head to head. We're just gonna have fun with it. So that'll be the.
This will be the toughest.
Reintroducing ourselves on the 80s Mosh Madness tip, just to kind of get our feet back in the pool. I was having a thought today.
You're so alive.
Yes, thank you. For the very first time, did you guys see the Misfits played last night in Newark at the Prudential Center?
I was there.
You went. We have the man on the ground. Patrick, what was your awareness? Did you know this happened even?
No. The only thing I know about the United States is mass shootings. That's all.
Jonah Hill is being mean.
Complete unrelenting control. So here's my observations. Tom, I want you to clarify.
Sure.
It was not a full house.
It wasn't not a full house. It was they sold about 11,000 people there.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And it was scaled to 12,000, so it was pretty good.
Okay. The Prudential Center, Patrick, is the home of the New Jersey Devils NHL team, so that's pretty cool. They did a pretty mixed set. Did they pull out some songs they haven't played before? Is that right?
From what I can tell, yeah. They played Come Back, which I don't think I've ever seen them play.
Danzig sounded great. Look, dude's old. For his age, he's looking good, but he's also looking old.
I mean, Doyle is a medical masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, sure. That dude like looks better than any 28-year-old muscle guy. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, you guys ever seen the muscle guy? Older muscle guy, it's all in the face. So if you got a gig where you can be older muscle guy, but you get to wear face paint too, you're in like Flynn. That's perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
That's the best of both worlds. You don't get the weird, awkward, like crow's feet, anything weird. Like, so shout out to them. All right, now give us the overall. Was it good, great, excellent?
I would say it was pretty good. I thought they were better at the Garden.
Oh, yeah, you know.
But I thought there was – I mean, those songs are still those songs. People freak out. People sing along. They played for like hour and 20. They seemed like they were having a grand old time. The sound wasn't great from where we were sitting. But some people like were like, yeah, where I was sitting, it was great. Like, okay. So it all depends. I had a lot of talk about like real dorky, like that arena was the last one built with that template because it sounds so bad for music.
Right.
Like literally. and they were like, this is why this place is built. I'm like, oh, because like I've gone to shows at like Barclays Center or like the UBS Arena out on Long Island and it sounds good. It's like, yeah, because they took everything that the Prudential Center fucked up and.
Yeah.
But I thought they were cool. I mean, I've never seen so many. I wore the shirt of the band I'm going to see. People,
oh, that's like
90%
in the dictionary of I wore the shirt of the band I went to see is a Misfits logo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, they sounded really cool. Like, I mean, you know what? If they play every couple of years,
yeah,
I'd go see them every couple of years.
All right, I think you've convinced me. I had a pang at like 8:30 last night. I was like, should I go?
Yeah, Jeff TDT was there, but like,
that's cool.
Tickets definitely like came down. Like, it was cheaper to see the Misfits than a movie kind of deal.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? They had the world's worst flyer, like monstrosity, like. I get it. They want to run a tight ship, but like someone besides Danzig should make that flyer. Like that thing was ugly. I don't know who made it. It's the worst.
It looks the same on everyone.
Yeah, they're so bad.
And they have to name the people because like they're so weird.
Yeah.
I can't just say like the Misfits. It's gonna be like the Misfits with this guy and this guy and this guy too.
Yeah.
He's meanwhile, Dave Lombardo is the biggest dude in the band, and he doesn't even get mentioned.
Isn't that funny? I wonder how. Well, I'm not going to count pockets.
I was talking about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any insider information, but I wonder. I'm like sitting there watching, and I'm like,
you're like, which one of these guys is getting fucked? And we know the answer.
The guy listed third on the flyer, probably.
Yep. That's right. But
there's like percentages, I'm sure, and like.
Oh, yeah.
And there's AC Slade, who's like the guy from the Murder Dolls, that like is the dude that holds it all together.
Ah, no yes, shit, yes, really.
He plays guitar like in the shadows and sings everything.
Oh.
And he's always been in it though. He's on all the reunions. But like, I wonder, like, do they throw him a couple bucks?
He gets a couple bucks. He's paid like a
like an employee.
Yeah, like a stage crew. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, you know. This got me thinking because I saw all the videos. I was like, the Misfits played an outsized role in my love of punk music, hardcore music in the 90s. Like, obviously, they weren't the version of the Misfits that existed when I was getting into hardcore was like barely a thing in my brain. You know what I mean? Like, it existed. I know people like it now, but like, that wasn't the Misfits to me. But I was like, oh, I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, what were the bands I loved? Like, loved. And it was like the Misfits, Shelter, a couple of the like straight edge bands of the time, certainly the Rev catalog stuff. I was like, oh, that is kind of a mixed bag of weird stuff. And I was trying to think, like, I get the sense, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of the energy of kids right now. Like, if you're a young person, your favorite bands aren't 10 bands who are all metalcore. You know what I mean? Or they aren't 10 adjacent bands and you don't really, you know, you're like, oh, I like Fiddlehead and Citizen and Drug Church and Military Gun and this and this. You probably like are more likely to be like, oh, I like Drug Church and Military Gun and Drain and Pain of Truth and Mind For. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of more the energy right now.
Oh, 100% more the energy, more than we would always make fun of. Albany kids would always make fun of Syracuse kids because we'd be like, they like everything, you know, like what's going on? They fucking, they like, you know, it was always like, they like Black SS and Taking Back Sunday. What? You know what I mean? That was completely unknowable to us. Because a lot of people in Albany, you know, people went through these weird phases where they, you know, suddenly everything sounded like the Cro-Mags, or suddenly everything sounded like Rival Mob Light. You know what I mean? Like there was all these fucking phases, but it was people didn't have, you know, kind of varied interests. now that's normal and also mentally healthy. glad that young people now, and you know, listen, it's all self-interest. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm glad young people like my band.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is a good one for you, Patrick, and you too, Tom. I think both of you. But think back to early for you. You know, like first 20, first 30 bands, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Your first grip. What was the variety like? Because I think when people look back, because I certainly hit that wave where once I was into hardcore for several years, I waned it down, was like, this is the shit I love. You know what I mean? And yeah, I like this thing over there and I like this thing over there. But, you know, if you asked Bob in 2001, do you like pop punk? I'm like, fucking no, I don't like pop punk. Did that mean I didn't like the Descendants? No, I liked the Descendants. Did that mean I didn't like Lifetime? No, I liked Lifetime. No, there were always exceptions. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'd created my rule, like my thing.
Sure.
But the Misfits thing got in my brain because I'm like, oh yeah, they were early for me. And then I was thinking about the other ones, and really it was that Shelter and the Misfits, because those are two really different places. but they were both very important. And I was like, oh, that's first 20, first 30, something like that records. What did you have a range when you think about it?
Not really within hardcore. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. But okay. So if we're talking about subculture-y things, it was, I loved the Boss Tones at a very young age. I loved Minor Threat. Mm-hmm. Loved Earth Crisis, loved Sick of It All.
Yeah, so right there. We can stop right there.
Yeah, well,
Boss Tones, Minor Threat, Earth Crisis, Sick of It All. That's a pretty range. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. We think that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know that to somebody with a really wide range, that doesn't all sound like it's in the same cupboard. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, the person that was like, that was also really enjoying, I'm trying to think of something very subculture adjacent. Like, okay, here's a great example. For me, stuff like Helmet was too far afield. You know what I mean? At that time. It was like, nah, come on, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've told you the thing that I can't repeat because it's no longer, you know, it's not a thing people say anymore, but the mm-hmm. way that a lot of people in Albany felt about Fugazi. Like, I feel like that's variety, but I also am a guy who is at an advanced age still checking out new hardcore bands on the regular. So I'm just saying
you're not wrong. No. You're not. I mean, I think breadth and depth is something that grows over time, right? Like to me, you made the Black SS Taking Back Sunday, you know, right? Full transparency, Taking Back Sunday always felt really far afield to me of that world of sound. If I actually put it down, especially in the advancement of way things are now, it's not. In production things, this, that, the other, you know, it's like two steps further over from Saves the Day, maybe, and maybe not even if you're talking about later Saves the Day.
Also, Saves the Day, I'm sorry, this is going to be a deep conversation, because Saves the Day gets a cutout because they were a Lifetime clone when they started. Lifetime gets a cutout. You know what I mean? Like, Lifetime
that's exactly right. So you get Lifetime because it was a new age band, hardcore guys doing this thing. They were playing in almost exclusively to the hardcore scene. You know, like they were a hardcore band. Then at the end, they find a sound that clearly aligns more to pop punk. You know, they were playing shows with the Bouncing Souls and doing a few things like that. But especially early on, they were in the new age scene, and then they branch out. Saves the Day comes along, has X members of Hands tied, and are very much in this like, hey, we're kind of playing to this, like they played up their hardcore adjacent angle. Maybe they might be proto adjacent hardcore because they really played up that angle. They wanted people to know, like, hey, we're playing the Cro-Mags intro. We're playing these shows with hardcore bands.
Right. Their first tour was a Bane.
That's right. And then they did tours with like Far Side and Fast Break, you know?
And then Weezer.
Right. So they get the exclusion. They get an exemption when in fact they were kind of closer to the other than they were to the thing.
I mean, as we've talked about Hot Water Music, Gainesville Hardcore.
right.
This was, you know, we talk up adjacent stuff because it's really having a moment, but we got to remember there's always been a thing. Yeah.
It's more acceptable now, though.
It is more acceptable now. And it's not like one that you have to, you don't feel like you're in some type of weird club when you meet somebody that also likes that thing. You go, oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Well, I mean, that's Sensefield and Far Side and all those bands were
100%.
And in the 90s, those are the bands you were allowed to like.
Yeah. And maybe Texas is the reason, depending on where you were Texas at.
The reason as well.
And, sure.
I mean, it was, by the way, I listened to the, I guess, unreleased Orange 9mm record that I never listened to before in my life. Final one. Bob, have you given that a shot?
Never. Is it good?
It sounds like the fucking Prodigy. It's pretty wild.
You say that and all of a sudden it rings a bell. So maybe I tried and kind of not blocked it out, but just willfully forgot it. Wow. So,
dudes
so
were trying long,
yeah, dudes be trying. have you spun into another Soul Control yet?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I can't.
Dudes it's, were trying things.
They were so trying.
Here's what I want to say. If you ever feel like someone's taking a pot shot at your diverse range, or you know, nah, man, everybody had that diverse range. I think even Pat's, you're diminishing it a bit. I get it, like, but I think if you told someone like I like Boss Tones and Earth Crisis, that's a range. You know what I mean? And I just think people are maybe unabashed about that now, and that's, as said, very healthy. What else we got? We got anything else?
Can I ask you fellas, do you know
if you guys want to talk about the stuff that I listen to, or like,
go
yes,
ahead.
I
mean,
I can just stay here. Maybe that's what
I'm going. Listen, I listen. You jump in.
I listen to the Boss Tones. He's really like listening to fucking Mingus over here. Relax.
I didn't know there was decorum for this conversation, but the chair recognizes Tom. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we usually all go around, don't we? Am I crazy?
You go. Please give it to us.
Or do we let Pat talk for 45 minutes and I make some witty, like,
by the way, Tom,
Pat's fucking alternative, and then we move on to the next thing. What are we doing?
Oh, get it.
a listener asked me, he goes, this was in Austin, Texas. Shout out to him. He said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's going on? He goes, is it a bit, or does Tom really get close to smacking you? And I was like, well, listen, we are geographically separated. I was like, if we were in the same room, it's possible Tom would have stood up at least once. I said that's probably, I said no, I don't think Tom would have slapped me, but it's possible that we would have arrived at him standing up. So
I'm trying to. Yeah. There's a chance. There's some. During the pandemic episodes, there would have been some chairs sliding out.
Yeah, exact chair slides. Exactly right.
I mean, it would have turned into like the new era Sick of It All versus Born Against. Like, you hear like the squeak of the chair moving, and it's like Pete yelling indiscriminately. That would have been me off mic, being like, "What the fuck? Take the fuck!" You know, like.
Now, Tom, I'm sorry, you were listening.
It's a bit. I think it's become more of a bit than.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I was
legitimate, because I'd run into you several times, and it wasn't like, "Well, I got one waiting for you."
No, it's also. I told him.
Like Popeye style, arms swinging, and I like woo, 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 boom.
I told him it's not even like the politics. We get a blustery, right? But like the thing that like the more likely to actually lead to conflict is sometimes I am indelicate with people that we know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
but I wouldn't slap you over it. I'd let them do it.
And then that can provoke Tom into a state at times. So I said,
I live here.
Right. I said, if anything's going to put us in a space, it would be, you know, me being like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, like they rap, and I go, oh my god.
Listen, when I saw Incendiary, it's all love. You know what I mean? Like, and now,
oh, Tom, is that what you think?
Well, it wasn't all slaps. So let me say that.
Pat walks out on stage. It's like, dun, 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 dun. You had one chance, one opportunity.
Listen.
I was throwing up in the bathroom before you went out there.
Can we respectfully to a very good band, Incendiary, respectfully. And I saw.
See, what are we doing? You see,
they just hear off the listener. Yeah.
I just.
Is the time that I get up and I go, shut the fuck up, person.
This is all I'm asking. Am I alone in the rap comparison? Am I? Just answer me this. Am I alone?
No, probably not.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You say it with like a certain gravitas that it's like.
I don't. Like, I think they're a good band. In fact, listen, I think they border on like a great band. You know what I mean? Like,
I think they're legit a great band.
Here's the thing. So I don't revisit their records that much. So I go, yeah, good band. But then I forgot. I saw them recently. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Right. Like, oh, this is like Chicago. This is like the third time they've like ever played here. And there's like 1,000 people going fucking apeshit. Like, they're Slayer.
Yeah, it's also like I don't know how to describe this to people, because typically you get it from playing 1,000 shows, not from playing several hundred or whatever. Like, but like it you get a type of stage acumen. You know what I mean? You'll see this among, you know, like if you watched current Madball, you could see this. Do you know what I mean? You just get a stage acumen where you're kind of, you know, what's the NBA comparison? Your court IQ or whatever, you know, you
know what I mean? Like, right.
That's, and Incendiary having, you know, they play limited shows per year. They have it. They have like a real like stage command that I think is impressive. So I'm taking nothing away from them by saying that, you know, there's some rap in there. But Tom, you were saying the bands you listened to as a young
yeah, man. Like what's your early range and a pin in the bit, because I got a bit conversation for us.
Well, I think I told the story on here before, but like I mean I love New York hardcore because that was what I was around. Mm-hmm. But I also liked a lot of grunge.
Mm. Yeah,
and I loved Ministry.
Okay, so I do not necessarily consider grunge adjacent, but I do consider Ministry adjacent. Do you agree or not agree?
You broke up a little bit. I didn't catch that.
Oh, I say grunge not adjacent, even though it literally is. I wouldn't have considered it.
Right. It's like what those dudes did after they did hardcore bands.
Yeah, right. It's right. Literally adjacent. However, I didn't consider it that at the time. I might have considered Ministry adjacent at the time. Yes or no?
Yeah, because I think that was like – excuse me, alternative enough.
Yes, I mean,
you had to be like a fucking weirdo to like them.
Yeah,
like Pearl Jam was like, you know, your little sister knew Pearl Jam.
That's right.
Or like your, you know, like your cool, you know, like your uncle who listened to Ozzy still liked Pearl Jam.
Yes.
But like it was one of those things. Still though, I used to go to, like, when I'd go to a show that I wasn't expecting to go to, and I remember like showing up at like a pretty scary show in Brooklyn, and I had a fucking Soundgarden Bad Motor Finger shirt on.
That just made you cool, man.
And I was like, this could have been a Target.
You know what?
Like, I felt like such a dork. Like, now, if I showed up in a fucking Bad Motor Finger shirt, people were like, I'll give you $90 for it.
That's right.
Then I was like, they're going to beat me.
Yeah, listen, I saw a photo of Drug Church, and it, shout out to Dookie, who I sent you guys the photos. Those are crazy photos.
Incredible.
One of them, tell me if this is – I know this is crazy. There's a lot of people at hardcore shows of a certain time who loved Lamb of God and they loved Nile, right? You could see those shirts at a lot of hardcore shows.
Now,
I did not expect to catch a kid stage diving with a Lamb of God shirt at a Drug Church show. Is that my old man ignorance, or is A, Lamb of God popping with young people, and B, is it something that you would imagine has significant crossover with what I do? Or C, was that kid just lost?
I think you caught a drain stray.
I did catch a drain stray. You're right.
Drain stray. Whoa. Like, I'm thinking like Randy probably like propped out drain somewhere.
No question. That could be.
No question.
And like a dude is there like, I'll go check out Drain, and they see Drug Church. You're like, fuck, this band's a lot of fun. I want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which is great. I mean, that's the whole fucking point.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Or maybe, you know, we'll hear whatever the new wait till you hear what the new Lamb of God sounds like.
What if it was a note for note interpolation of a Drug Church record?
Right, everything's like self-deprecating lyrics about, you know, yourself and cancellation and sleeping on turtle bedspreads and stuff, and you'd be like, wait a minute.
Should I listen to Lamb of God? Yes, no.
No.
What if Lamb of God and Drug Church did a collaboration record? Wait, hold on. Tom, what does the Lamb of God Drug Church collaboration record sound like?
Mighty Mighty Boston's.
Yeah, it does. It does. What is
if Randy singing?
Yeah. I mean, duet, you know what I mean? The trade off.
I can't get a hold of the guy in Pig Destroyer. That's the guy I want to duet with. Yeah. Listen,
we could find him. Anyone who knows the dude from Pig Destroyer,
but he seems
knows him.
Seems to keep to himself.
He's probably got the internet.
Yeah, he probably got the
internet. Maybe, I don't know.
But normally, if we're talking about somebody, even somewhat big bands, between the three of us, we tend to know somebody who knows them.
Right in their orbit.
Yeah, I reached out to the people that I would think would know. There wasn't any connection.
Mr. Destroyer, no.
Yeah, Mr. Destroyer. Can I just ask you guys a question while it's on the top of my head?
Of course.
Do you know what Rival Sons is?
Not Rival Mob not Rival Schools.
That's right.
Yes.
Bigger band.
So I'd never heard the name before. They're playing both of the festivals, the Norway festivals that I sent you. I just looked. Also playing with Bob Villain, not Bob Dylan, but Bob Villain.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which is, I guess, a popular UK thing that nobody lets me in on anything. But but anyway, Rival Sons.
Nobody lets me in on anything. Yeah, Gramps, you check this out.
Rival Sons. I went and looked. I said, this is billed very high. What is this? I just want to read this to you. Rival Sons formed in Long Beach, where Jay Buchanan, is a hyperlink to Rival Sons, and Michael Miley lived. Buchanan previously recorded as solo artist with his Buchanan band. He independently released All Understood 2004 and True Love EP in 2006. I promise this is getting better. Rival Sons formed under the remnants of guitarist Scott Holiday's previous band. He had been active in a number of bands, including Human Lab, who were signed to Atlantic Records, but which he left and formed Black Summer Crush. Okay. 2006, Buchanan starts looking for a singer on MySpace. Seems crazy. Drummer Michael Miley had previously worked with Buchanan, as well as having been in Veruca Salt and the Carson Daly TV show band.
Wow.
Where he met bassist Robin Everhart playing at a benefit concert at Isaac Hayes' house for Hurricane Katrina in Long Beach.
What the fuck? The cards just keep coming.
So, this is – okay, so the band release an album and are invited to perform as a supporting act for AC/DC, Alice Cooper, and Kid Rock. I don't think that was a tour. Each individual. So, also they performed on the racetrack during the Indianapolis 500.
Big win. That's big.
but here's my thing. And then it gets weird. They are on Earache, or not any longer, but they were signed to Earache, which is the And what then they – okay, so they're on Earache, and then they play Gene Simmons' Aces and Angels Super Bowl party.
Wow.
Could you – look, hey, Rival Sons, I got nothing bad to say about you. I haven't heard a note of your fucking music. But this –
that's going to get locked in a porta potty and fucking umlaut or whatever the fuck he's playing.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're – they don't look like bruisers, but I'm sure they hire crew to do that. But here's the thing. I'm saying nothing bad about this band. Don't know their music. Doesn't this feel like the most LA phenomenon you've ever heard of in your fucking life?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Isaac Hayes' house?
Yeah, we met at a benefit for Hurricane Katrina that took place in Long Beach at Isaac Hayes' house, where I got together with the drummer of the Carson Daly TV show band.
Right now you're playing like pretty high up on like Norwegian festival. That is fucking. Write your version of Drug Church.
I got another good one.
You'll go.
Storm Thurgeson, who had worked with bands such as Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and Genesis, created the cover art for the album voluntarily. That's the language. So he didn't.
The man put a gun to his head to do it. That's pretty cool.
Guys, he wasn't coerced. He wasn't threatened with violence.
I mean, it probably was like meant that he did it for like free or something, or like did it and then handed it over and like. That's pretty great, though.
Voluntarily.
Right. It was not a hostage situation.
Yeah, I'm doing the podcast voluntarily. You'll be happy to know, fellas.
I'm happy,
but
sometimes I question that. But yeah,
shout out to Rival Sons.
We had a lot of cool feedback on our new music episode, so shout out. There's so much good stuff out right now. I after the episode, I forgot stuff that I've enjoyed. I actually want to give a shout out to our our buddy Gray from Fort Wayne, Indiana, his band Colossal Man is good.
Yes.
It's really good. And it's been really interesting to see fast kind of 80s inspired moshy hardcore take root in places where it almost has never existed before.
Love it.
Yeah, really cool. So shout out to Colossal Man. And just shout out to new music.
I'd like to make an apology from my notes app. Last week I made an error in geography. I would really like to apologize to the band Without Love, who are due to split 12 inch with Time Heist from Colorado. Without Love, not from California. They're from the United Kingdom. So I wasn't even close.
Yeah, no.
So I apologize. This will never happen again. I will be going to rehab to make sure that, you know, I deal with my, you know, I'm going to take a history class. I'm
going to audit these class. Yeah.
I'm going to audit a geography class at the local college. And my apologies to Without Love.
Shout out.
It's important you did that. That was brave.
Thank you. Thank you. It hurt. It took me all week to write that.
Yo, let's have a little fun here at the end.
Okay, let's play
a little game. I also have a new game that I'm percolating on, but I gotta figure out what I think it's gonna be a give you advance notice game.
Do you have like a test kitchen? Do you like have some people around like, we'll get sandwiches. Before. I'm going to test these with
I
you.
Have,
like,
I have done it before. Yes, I have.
Amazing. You're like, Andy, come here.
Yeah. Amazing. Mostly I lit it. I got to work it out in my head. And it's one of those things where I don't know if either of you guys have had this, but you have an idea and you're like, all right, let me put it down, write it down, get it down. And then let me come back to it the next day and be like, yeah, this is cogent. This can work. All right, I can make this work. That's it. So there's been a few where I'm like, this ain't gonna work. But
it sounded like, yeah,
this one's a good one. But I think it's gonna be an advance notice. This one, this game is a game we teased straight from the brain of a friend to the podcast, Bobco from Gel. It's called the Bobco game, aka Put 'em in the Blender. We name a band, and you have to say, it's like if you took this band and this band. So essentially, you're dissecting them. It's like a reverse blender. So let's see. An easy example. Either of you guys got an easy example.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
All right, let's do power. Here it is. Okay, go ahead. What's Hatebreed. Your example? Hatebreed. Okay, Hatebreed is like if you put Slayer and the Cro-Mags in the blender.
I would have said Sepultura and Agnostic Ooh. Front.
Oh,
it's Chaos AD and Agnostic Front.
There you go. There it is. Perfect. There we go. So there. Good job, that's Eddie. The game. That's the game. It's a fun one. I've put down a list of bands for this game.
All right.
That we have some bands we hit all the time, and I'm like, let me spend time thinking about bands that we don't hit all the time, but that are of note, you know, or you know, whatever, and can lead the conversation. So, and please, if you guys want to go off the cuff and throw some in there, just holler out. But I'll take the lead, guys. The Suicide File.
Ooh.
Remember, don't think too hard. You got to kind of go off the cuff.
Yeah. Damn. Okay.
I know.
Black Flag and SSD.
Suicide File. No, listen, there's something that is, where's the punkiness coming from? Where's the rock coming from, rather?
The rock punkiness. I know.
That's the part I can't.
I feel like that comes from Black Flag.
You could get a little bit. I might go Poison Idea. I might go Poison Idea. I would go Poison Idea and HopeCon in the blender. But HopeCon's got a little bit of rockiness in them too, especially later on.
They got rocky after Suicide File.
Yeah, that's right.
So those bands kind of like.
And it is cheating a little bit to say HopeCon.
And I also think we always talk about it. I'm thinking it's the fucking Circa 77 Unbroken record.
Okay. Circa 77.
As the debate became its own genre.
It did. Yeah. And I'm thankful for it every day. Yes. But okay. So let's do this. I agree with Tom on that one. But where, okay. So if that's accounting for kind of the driving rock elements, what is the other linchpin music sonic component of Suicide File? What is it? I would say, is there Boston in there? Would be the question.
Well, yes, but it's not because I
would think that you could probably say Slapshot is in there. Is it the other one? I don't know.
If it's between Slapshot and like SSD, I might go SSD. Because I think it's a little more driving than Slapshot. Like Slapshot's so good and they have some of the elements, but like the Suicide File, I think they have their ballady LP songs, right? But I think overall they have a faster tempo than Slapshot.
Yeah, you might be right.
Whereas their tempo might match up with SSD more closely, or DYS maybe.
DYS. I would give it to DYS. So
we're going to say Unbroken, Circa 77 meets DYS. Okay. I'm good with that, actually.
Yeah, I can live with those.
I like that. All right. All right, good.
And we'd like to hear Dave, if you're listening. Yeah. How far off are we?
Let's go DW. How come I never called him Darkwing Duck? Damn it. Shout out. Anybody I know who has DW, I had a great friend, Terry W, in high school. I used to say, do the Darkwing Duck theme to her initials. Oh my God. All right. Ink and Dagger.
One's very hard. Yeah. It's Swizz, but then what else?
That's really good. Is it
Swizz or Blue Tip? And then it's because something like that really takes the base for those weird places. Okay.
Any like Discord, like,
Oh!
Is it Fugazi?
No, it's you could say Rites of Spring though. You could 100%.
But I don't think you could say Swizz meets Rites of Spring.
No,
I think you need something that's a little more chaotic. You know, like Rites of Spring gets
Swizz and Moss Icon.
Swizz and the Cramps.
Maybe Swizz and Heroin or something like that. Like I'm thinking Gravity Records.
Got keyboards and stuff.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of something like more discordant and crazy.
Sure.
You know,
like
what I mean?
A 31G kind of.
Yeah. Like maybe. Oh, Rorschach and Swizz.
Too heavy.
Rorschach's too heavy, but I'm thinking of like the fast Rorschach, like Protestant material, like when it's kind of, because it's noisy and gnarly, but then you angle it at some of the more stop go. I don't know. I think there might be something there. Okay. All right. I think I like Rorschach meets and Swizz, but if you can refine it more, like I'm not going to lie, Unbroken gets used. We can't use Unbroken as a base over and over. And I'm not as much a fan, but I wouldn't be surprised if they use that as a comp too.
Oh, you might be right. It's really, what's the one fellow's name? Dom? I would be so curious to talk to him about what the actual influences are, because I don't know who did the bulk of the, I think he wrote the music, but I don't know. A very strange band. For everybody in our listenership who just continues to sleep on Ink and Dagger, we take it as a given that you've all listened. And many of you have not. You know, when you have moments with the podcast where somebody says something to you and you kind of go, wow, I'm glad that I could bring that into somebody's life. That's how I felt about the kid that approached me and talked about how much Swizz meant to him. Never knew them before we talked about him, went and checked them out. Now he listens all the time. I love Swizz that much. I would feel that way about Ink and Dagger. If you've never listened to Ink and Dagger, go listen to Drive This 7-inch Seven Stake Through My Philadelphia Heart. Do this one for us.
Here's the thing. We say this a lot. Any episode can be someone's first episode. In a music that all three of us agree on, that record's one of the best records of the 90s, I think.
For sure.
Like, and it surprises people when they hear it. And, you know, look, spade a spade. Ink and Dagger had a cultish following, no puns, but they weren't the biggest band ever when they were a band. They just wrote really fucking good records that have held up to the test of time and like sound timeless. Like, they're really good, you know? Like, I could see someone be like, this isn't my thing, I guess. But there's an energy to those records, especially their best records. I think the first LP and Drive This are both awesome, awesome. So
yeah, the Vine Art of Original Sin,
yeah,
which is like a great record.
Great.
So yes. Don.
I thought you called him Dom.
I did. I'm like, I did.
You did. Okay. Dom DeVore from fucking Ink and Dagger over there.
To Tony Palmyra, you know.
Well, listen, that band did like a, I mean, I'm sure this wasn't intentional or whatever, but it was such the Sean McCabe upfront sort of thing, right? So Don DeVore, who has had a career and does interesting things, could, you know, I'm out here calling him Dom. Sorry, Don, let's put some respect on your name. He was in Frail, right? I mean, it's cheating.
This might be the first time we've ever talked about Frail on the podcast. So
can't be.
I think it is. I think it is, dude.
Listen, for people that don't know, Frail was both a thing people referenced and could be found in every cutout bin at every record store in North America. I don't know how those two things were possible at the same time, but I assure you I was there for it and they were. So it's unfair to say Frail was an influence on the band, but like, it's kind of a natural, very natural evolution right there. Because if you take Frail and then you add Swizz, you really do have Ink and Dagger. I'm standing on Moss Icon. That's where I'm standing.
You're saying Swizz Moss Icon.
Yep.
I just, you know what? Maybe Moss Icon's hitting the same spot I was looking for with Heroin.
I think we're speaking the same language on that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay. All right. A more contemporary one. Pain of Truth.
Well, so that's an interesting one because
Mabel Hayford, right?
That's what I would say. Ooh,
that's a nice, yeah.
That's what I would say, but I don't know if it's cheating because they kind of let us know.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, they wear it on their sleeves. Yeah.
Like, they're not. But honestly, like, credit to them for doing it. Like,
yeah, oh yeah,
like,
for
those
sure.
Those two, that's some peanut butter and jelly shit, right? Like,
yeah.
But think how many bands go, this is what we are going for, and you're like, well, you didn't hit it.
That's right. Well, and it's, I think there's been a lot of, oh man, Tom, you nailed it. There's been a lot.
I mean, they nailed it. Like, they go, we like Madball and Hatebreed. And they go, well, you did the band that you aimed to do.
How many bands have been in that pocket where it's like, what are they trying to do? Well, kind of like a Madball thing and like Hatebreed, but not, they, there's been 1 million bands, local yokels and bands who've gotten more than that.
Sure.
Who not hit that sound. And Pain of Truth did it. And that is why people respond to them the way they do. So kudos. All right. Let's see. Turmoil.
Let's see. What?
I mean, I think they're Rorschach.
Yeah, they're Rorschach. But what year does that? What year does the one record come out?
98.
95.
Oh.
Is it 95? Fuck.
What's the LP?
Process of is the one that people are the Process of is Century Media, and it's also, let's see. Turmoil. If it's 95, that's such an impressive band, man.
Oh, From Bleeding Hands was 96.
No, Process of is 99. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I knew there was a big gap. I knew there was the first record and then Process of is later.
Yeah. I don't want to disrespect From Bleeding Hands. I'm sure it has fans, but the Process of this has fans, but the Process is a genuinely impressive record. Right. So I think that that's the one that stands out in most people's minds. I don't know how much of an evolution between From Bleeding Hands and the Process of, I think probably just a refinement. Right. I would think this Rorschach definitely dead guy, but dead guy's contemporaries in 96. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't know if those two things are too close. Turmoil is bringing something else into the mix to me.
I know, but so
could it be Rorschach and Damnation AD?
Here's my thing. Dead Guy Fixation was 95, and if the EP that it's based on must have been the year before, right? Yeah. Okay. So
I can hear Dead Guy. As soon as Dead Guy came out, everyone's like, you know how like American Nightmare came out and everyone went, oh, we're gonna do that now?
So
Dead Guy was the band that we're like, oh.
Right. So everybody, this is the thing. Dead Guy, if you listen to those songs, has a fucking you can feel in the actual rhythm of the music the parts where the guitars swing upward and downward in the man's hand. You understand?
Right.
You can feel it. And Turmoil does that on the Process of, where you can, in listening to that record, you can feel the quick jerk from like, you know, I'm not good with my angles, but extended away from the body, pulled towards the body,
and coming back
90 to 45,
90 to 45. And that is, you can hear it, which is the real magic of these records. And that's what Rorschach did not have over Dead Guy. There's people that love Rorschach. You know what I mean? They're on this podcast.
Yes. And different energy. Dead Guy had a different energy from that, and
that's right. You're not wrong. But I don't know if Tom. What do you think? Fixation comes out in 95. Dudes were probably plugged in 94. It's almost certainly an influence on the Process of. I don't know if it's a direct influence on From Bleeding Hands, right? Because that was the year before.
No.
That was a year after. So probably not, but I don't know. I don't know.
Remember, part of this activity, we will get in the weeds, and getting in the weeds is actually fun and good chatter. Part of the activity is to give this to playing this game so someone can hear it and go, oh, wait, you're saying that's like Dead Guy and this? I love both those things. Let me go listen to this Turmoil record. So I think Dead Guy is the good place. I think Dead Guy.
Yeah.
Am I
instead
wrong?
Of Rorschach.
Yeah, exactly. I think Dead Guy, on a certain branch of things, Dead Guy replaces Rorschach.
Absolutely.
In that. So Dead Guy meets what, though? Because this record, Turmoil's a bit crunchier.
Something more technical. I'm gonna say something more technical. They might have been, I don't know, there's some fast parts on it, too. Let's see what was.
I mean, Jim Winters was in Turmoil, and he was also on Destroy the Machines.
Yep. He wrote it, and he was Conviction and all that. Yeah. Which, by the way, we got to talk about Conviction. That was one that the young dudes we were on tour with was like, I think Conviction, and I was like, listen. But anyway,
a band I wish I loved because that name Conviction.
Yeah,
everything should have been cool. Should have loved it.
Okay, here's where we might be experiencing a blind spot. Mm-hmm. We're too subculture. So this could be Dead Guy and
it could be like fucking Pantera.
That's what I'm saying. This could be Dead Guy and fucking
fucking
and Justice for All Metallica or something. Yeah,
okay, we're gonna leave the question marks on this one. Somebody's gonna hit us with it and go, it's dead guy and blank. So
right,
hit us with it. We're looking forward to it. Let's do one more. And
if you like Foundation, you'll like Turmoil.
Oh yes. Yeah. Okay, like is Turmoil the process of one of the most slept on metallic, hardcore, metalcore, whatever you want to call it, records? Yes. I think so.
Yeah, because it's also absolutely essential. It's like, yeah, it's essential. By the way, I was going to say Machine Head would be an influence, but I don't think
it goes that far over.
But that Machine Head was frowned upon.
I get it.
Hardcore, like now it's cool, but like
it's not.
Tom, cool, I think it was also a secret listen.
Indecision's drummer used to wear like Machine Head shirts and stuff, and I'm like, stop wearing those fucking shirts to hardcore shows.
I get it. It's like Slipknot was for an era as well. I get it. But I also think that there was a great number of hardcore kids secret listening to Slipknot, and I think there was a lot of hardcore kids secret listening to Burn My Eyes, because I hear a lot of times when I think I'm hearing Sepultura, I go back and I go, oh, maybe I'm hearing
Machine Head.
Yeah, maybe I'm hearing Machine Head.
Oh, no.
So.
All right. Let's see. Here we go. Freedom, Detroit. Freedom.
Oh.
This is another, AF.
Yeah. Yep. This is another band that tried to wear it on their sleeves, right? So AF for sure.
I think it's AF.
Approach.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's like.
And if you wanted to be flip it around, nah, it's just AF and Negative Approach. It's an easy one.
Is that too easy though? Like I feel like
you want to say Antidote and Negative Approach. I don't know. Like I'm trying to think. Like, see, they had a little bit of stomp in it, so it's like I'm trying to think. It's got the Midwest sensibility.
That's why you got to keep Negative Approach in there.
Well, or do you go Antidote meets Rival Mob? Like, it's got the Negative Approach in the DNA, but there is a little bit more modern stompiness to it.
Yeah.
Which comes from the Boston thing, but evolved. You know what I mean? Like, Negative Approach has stomp parts, but they're not like, not in the same way. You know what I mean? Like, they're not
like, they're not like stomp. Neanderthal. Like,
I think. This is obvious, but Rival Mob was made such a fucking impression. Like so you could for basically any band playing kind of in the pocket, we understand it to be hardcore post Rival Mob. You could tell me that Rival Mob was an influence. I go, okay.
Well, and it's funny. There's this. Hence the reason I'm trying to do this. I chose Freedom for a reason. I think Freedom actually meant a lot to a lot of people. They toured a bunch.
They brought Detroit back.
They were a flag bearer band. You know what I mean? Yeah. Torch bearer band. They were great that whole era. But Rival Mob, what they did was they took New York hardcore and siphoned it through Boston hardcore. You know, like 80s Boston hardcore and then New York hardcore. And we're like, let's Bobco this. You know, let's throw this shit in the blender. And it's like, yo, what if we took the best parts of SSD and DYS and Slapshot and the best parts of AF and Cro-Mags and Killing Time and like threw that all in the blender and made a hardcore band. You know what I mean? So, and their influence is pretty heavy. So I think Rival Mob and something else. Maybe Rival Mob, Negative Approach. We'll do that so we get the Detroit love.
I always struggle with that sort of stuff, though, because it's kind of like I try to, like, if the bands almost, like, ran nearly concurrently.
Yeah,
sure.
Yep. I go, oh, there's no way. But I go, right. Oh, no. Like, yeah. There's so many bands that are, like, Rival Mob is of such, like, had such an impact.
Yep.
That like band, they change bands from record to record, but I automatically assume like there's no way like these dudes are definitely playing hardcore before Rival Mob played. You know, like I don't know like where in the timeline Freedom and the Rival like how often they crossed paths, but like
I that's how I use as like kind of like a, well, they definitely was, they were listening to this older band when writing this record, but it's like, maybe not. Maybe they were just fucking listening to their contemporaries, and that's what they were.
So there's two parts to that, because you're totally not wrong. I think part of it is they were probably aiming at Negative Approach and thinking of that, but you also got to remember sometimes the influence of your contemporaries is so much that it's like, well, I'm going to write that, and then I'm going to have this little part because that's what sounds good. Maybe not even consciously that it was coming out. Here's the thing about Rival Mob. They start in 2006 or 2007. Like, they were around for a while. Their first LP comes out in 2009. Hardcore for Hardcore comes out in 2010. The Rev LP is in 2013. Freedom is definitely a band by then. I think Freedom starts 2010 or 11, something like that. Let me look at
God,
this.
God, time moves. But you listen, there's also these wild cards, because we go with like kind of I mean, it's the nature of the game is that you kind of go with the broad stuff that like would almost certainly be influenced. But you could also tell me that Internal Affairs, you know what I mean? Like you could tell me that bands that were not necessarily massive, but left their mark and kind of there's always that possibility that, like, for example, the Kids in Freedom just completely fucking dialed in to something that is slightly more obscure, and that's their chief inspiration. Do you know
Freedom,
what I mean?
Freedom starts 2012, it seems like, 2011, 2012. So I think that Rival Mob's a safe one there. Their LP, which I think, if you're going to check out Freedom, USA Hardcore, I think, is their best record.
Great record.
Yeah. And Pay the Price, the 7-inch. I think they're either the first or the second 7-inch. The first one I really know of was really good. No, it's a good comment, Patrick, about the like
it's the nature of the
especially
thing.
Locality. You know what I mean? Like local. Like if you told me this band doing like, you know, Ceremony, Trash Talk, Internal Affairs was doing very fast, spastic hardcore. And I'm not going to say Ceremony would be like, Internal Affairs influenced, but I bet they didn't not influence them too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those bands, right. If you see if you listen to the first Internal Affairs 7-inch or their demo, they were doing that kind of same thing that we attribute to like Trash Talk or Ceremony's earliest material, which is, it's not power violence. It's not tied to like an 80s hardcore flashback, but it's like really fast kind of blast beating, without being, you know, grind or power violence. It's fast hardcore.
Right. And it might have just opened those bands up to the bands that influence. So you're not directly influenced by Internal Affairs, maybe, but maybe, you know, you go, oh, they like fucking Infest or No, you know what I mean? And like 100%. Open up, and then Ceremony does their take on the same pool of influence. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, so this was a fun game. We're going to revisit it. We're going to wrap it up, but I think it's kind of another important one. I think a lot of people know how much I love the band Fastbreak. If you don't know, I love the band Fastbreak.
Amen.
Connecticut hardcore band from the mid and late 90s. Don't Stop Trying is one of the first hardcore 7-inches I fell like in love with. I love capital L, Don't Stop Trying. There was kind of this funny special connection between Fastbreak and New Jersey. Early on, the Morris County kids all loved them. Then later, a lot of my friends at the Shore, we all thought Fastbreak was the coolest fucking band. Received bad news that a member of that band, who was also involved in a bunch of bands in Connecticut.
Yeah, Distance and Blackened and using a lot of stuff.
Yes, Break Faith. Chris Legg has passed away. So really sad. Not certainly not a guy of advanced age. Sad to hear it. Thoughts go out to those friends and family. And you know what? Spin one of his bands for us this week. And if you haven't heard him, give it a chance. It's definitely worth your time.
Good dude. Yeah, young guy, real. It's a real shame. So, rest in peace to him.
Shout out to Fast Break. Shout out to Connecticut Hardcore. RIP Chris Legg.